Lord, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We praise you, Father, for leading us and directing us. Lord, we thank you for filling us up with your Holy Spirit. And we praise you for the things that you've allowed us to talk about, Lord. And it seems like we learn something every week. You know, every time we come together, Lord, there's something new that opens up. And that's good. That's a good thing. And we just praise you, Father, for all the revelations you're opening up for us. Somebody has wanting something here. Somebody over there has something, and it all ties up. And that's a good thing, Father. And I thank you for the love that you place in our heart for one another, that we don't get upset over if somebody doesn't believe something. That's okay. We just put it on the shelf. Then we all come into that that place of oneness. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you that tonight's not going to be any different. We're all going to participate and have a great time in the Word of God. And Lord, we just praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for anointing everybody here with wisdom and discernment. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, bud.
Well, I got a, as you know, my daughter's going to be married this year in July 21st. And she phoned me today and was a little nervous talking to me, so I knew something was going on. But apparently, she's moving into an apartment. So she's moving into an apartment with her fiance. And of course, I was a little bit shocked, and I said, "You're making a commitment here before God, you know, and." That might not be the best place to be, you know, while you're still a fiancé. And so she immediately knew what I was talking about. As you know, I'm a divorced person, so I would have preferred her to move into this place later after they were married. But I'm not going to let that upset me. And I'm going to let God take care of it all.
Amen.
And I don't know if my daughter's saved or if he is, but I remember when he came here and made me some spaghetti. And he made a meal for me with my daughter here. And I quoted some verses out of Psalm Proverbs 3, and I didn't tell him where they were from, and he said, "Oh, that's Proverbs 3." So, you know, I was impressed with that, you know. So, I don't know if they're being drawn to God, or if they are saved and being drawn to God, you know, because you know they give you that generic saying. Of salvation, you know, which could mean anything from forgiveness gospel to
accepting Jesus in your heart kind of gospel.
Yeah, something like that, you know. And so I prayed, you know, I'm having faith. I believe the Lord's going to save him.
Yep.
A godly man out of him and a godly woman. And for my son, too, he's going to be a godly man. I call him a godly man. And he just sort of goes really quiet after that. Anyway, I do have a little bit of a praise testimony. I was praising God today at work. And today was Psalm 92. And the first verse of Psalm 92 is to give thanks and praise to God, because it's good to give him praise to his name. And it just sort of comforted me a bit that he showed me about the first verse that I was reading after I was singing to him at work and praising him. That was the verse there, and kind of comforted me. So I thank God for that. And
Amen.
I just wanted to mention that. I know other people here have loved ones they're praying for. And I don't know all of their names, but I pray for them too. So,
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, we can always claim household salvation, and God will honor that. We just have to hold faith to it. You know what? A lot of times they make a lot of mistakes early on, but then when God gets a hold of their heart, they'll come on in. They'll come on in a big way.
Yeah, I'm going to have to review my little notebook here on household salvation, because I wrote some notes there before we went on that 40-day fast, and got lots of nice verses in there, so I'm going to look at that again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one to go over time and again. I'm believing the same for my family, too. So, what is he doing with that boy? Oh, there's some more translation going on here. Hey, Tim, we saw Matt a while ago. He was standing about where he is now, and then it was there for a few seconds, and then all of a sudden, he was sitting down in the couch looking at us. I mean, in about a half a second, me and Andrew both said, "What in the world happened to that?" Got translated.
Yeah, across the room to start.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else got a prayer request, testimony, or a praise report? Yeah, Tim.
I got a praise report for us. This was kind of out of the blue yesterday. I was at work, and it was clear back, I'm going to say in August, maybe early September. I asked everybody on the outreach to pray for a boss at work whose wife was dealing with cancer. And they had been down to Houston to this, I guess, the premier place in the world that deals with this kind of cancer. And when he got back, I said, "Well, you know, what'd they tell you?" And he goes, "Oh, they said there's nothing more they can do, really." And we had a pretty good heart-to-heart about power of prayer. And, you know, I said that I'd have the brethren, you know, pray. And we'd, you know, if the doctors can't do anything, you got nothing, you know, there's nowhere else to go but turn to God. And he took it to heart. I'm sure they're Catholic. But there's been a lot of people praying for him at work, and I'm sure in their church and in their family. He's got a big family. But I found out yesterday that on the 29th, they went back to the doctors here in town, and they said they could find no sign of cancer in the woman. So, thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's the power of prayer. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
I mentioned about the strike that it's still going on. Like I thought it was going to be ending by now, and now they're going to be going back into the talks again in February. But you know, they're putting a long delay on this, and it's never been this long of a delay. Like, this was supposed to be all sorted back even in November, and it's just been delayed so long. So that's still ongoing, but you know, you just gotta keep faith, and sometimes you think about it and you gotta make the good confession and say it's taken care of. You know, that mountain is gone for me. And I prayed there in Mark 11:24 for the mountain there, and 23, I think it is.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Amen. Yep. Lord, we just thank you that there's coming an end to this the strike. I guess it's a strike, right? Or are they
no,
just in a negotiation?
Well, the negotiations are over. They're prolonging it and saying we'll get back to you. And it's been now like it's not usual this way that they're doing it. No, I don't know why it's taken so long, but
You talking about the company or the union?
Well, the union, we can walk any day now. You know, like they're still trying to take them back to the table. I guess they didn't want people walking over December because of the holidays, and now it's really like it was really cold lately. So I don't know what they're doing. I'm not really following it too closely. I don't want to be a striker. I'm not allowed to be.
No.
Anyway.
Well, Lord, we just thank you that you're going to put an end to this in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? All right, what about testimony or praise report as well? Missy made it down here. I was telling the rest of them earlier. She made it down this afternoon, and she's staying over at Patty's. And we all went over to the Italian place to eat this afternoon, late this afternoon. I went a little early so I could go ahead and eat. They stayed over, and I guess they got back. I saw Matt and Anna come in about 8 or so, a little after 8. So I guess I hadn't heard them come in downstairs yet, though. They must be still out there talking. There's Jackie. All right, anybody else? I do want to pray, and I want y'all to believe with me, okay? Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up my family, and Lord, I ask that you give me favor with them through all of these trials that we're going through. And Lord, I believe you're going to do that. I believe it because I'm praying the prayer of faith here, and I got my brothers and sisters believing with me. And Lord, I ask that you place it in Jeanette's heart to repent, confess her sin. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Jackie.
Hi.
Hey, girl. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you?
I am blessed beyond my wildest dream.
Amen. I love hearing that. I would like to pray for my family, please.
Okay.
Father, I just ask that you show forth your strength and the weakness in my family, Lord. I thank you that you're drawing them to you. I thank you for the shaking. Lord, I just ask that you guide the courts tomorrow into the best interest for my sister, that you keep her protected, Lord, and that you keep all the parties protected, Lord, the ones that are coming against each other. And I just find out this mass of evil spirit of faction in my family, and forbid it from operating. I bind up a spirit of gossip and backstabbing and hate and unforgiveness and just ugly bitterness. And Lord, I ask that you bring each one of my family members to their knees tonight and soften their hearts and just put love in their hearts one for another, and that you just draw them closer together, that everybody can just get along, and that nothing bad comes from this court case, Father. And I just place it all in your hands, and I'm not going to worry about it. And I thank you for the faith to be able to do this. I thank you that you're my husband and that you're taking care of all of this. Jesus, I thank you so much. And in your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for putting Jackie in the rest, because you're on the job. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? You ever wonder what he's got in that cup? Oh, me. Michael.
Tell you, about 99% of the time it's green tea, but tonight I made up a cup of instant coffee. So.
Oh, yeah, okay. Green tea. I never could get into that green tea. It just didn't feel right. Good old country boy from Arkansas drinks iced tea. Sitting on the front porch, spitting, you know how old boys do. I do want to read you a little something that I got from Andrew Murray this today. And I guess I can do that now. What's today? Yeah. God the Father. This is for today's daily in the presence of the Lord. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Quoting Matthew 28 and 19. What is that? 19. That's a little bitty stuff, though. He says, the truth of the Trinity has a deeply devotional aspect to it. Of course, he believes in the Trinity. We just have to give him a little grace here. When we think of God, we think of the great distance that separates him in holiness from humankind in its sinfulness. And we bow before him in deep reverence and respect. When we consider the Son, we recall the incomprehensible wonder of him who was born of a woman, descended from Adam, who died a cursed death, and who is inextricably bound to us for eternity. And when we consider the Holy Spirit, we are reminded of the wonder of God within us, he who makes us his eternal temple. When Christ taught us to address God as our Father, he added, hallowed be your name. As God is holy, so we too must be holy. And there's no other way to become more like him than to honor him and draw near to him through prayer. How often we say God's name without giving a thought in the indescribable privilege we enjoy being in a relationship with him. The time we take to be with him in our inner sanctuary will become the gateway to heaven. We ought, therefore, to bow low before him and adore his name as holy. It is an indescribable privilege to speak to God as my Father and have the assurance that he sees and hears and will reward us openly. And then this little prayer, Father, thank you that I may talk to you and may welcome you into my inner sanctuary. Thank you that I may call you my Father. Amen. As a good one. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to say before we join in our discussion again about the Godhead, the divinity, the Godhead. Where'd we leave off? Anybody remember where we left off? Wrong one. Boy, it's going to be a quiet night tonight. The truth always motivates people to holiness, to turn loose of the world and run after God. We were talking about the Holy Spirit, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? I believe so. Yeah, okay, here we are. We talked about oneness. We talked about the Trinity. Now, well, I guess we need to talk about the truth, right? Can somebody tell me what the truth really is rather than the oneness and Trinity? Where's the Holy Spirit come from? Holy Spirit comes from the Father, doesn't he? And then the Father... I remember David saying in a study, he said that if you could see in the spirit world completely, that all you'd see would be the Holy Spirit. You couldn't see anything else because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's everywhere at one time. It'd be all you could see would be the Holy Spirit. And that makes sense to me. If he's omnipresent, that'd be all you could see. Okay, what's your own? Where was we the other night?
I think we left off. You told everyone to do a little study and to find examples as to show how it's not a oneness doctrine. Concerning that Jesus is co-equal with the Father. And there was a lot said on that, and you told us to study on that and on this third portion of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And well, I was looking for stuff, you know, and I found something in Revelation 20, and at the end of Revelation 20 and 4, it talks about Christ being there, and at the end of 6, it talks about Christ being there, at the very last lines there, that Christ is there, and then the great white throne was going to come, and of course they surround the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and If Jesus was co-equal, why does he need the Father to rescue him?
Good question.
You know, like I just put that out. I said Jesus is there because he's the King of Kings, you know, and of course all the ones in the first resurrection are there. So you know. If he's co-equal, he doesn't need the Father to send down the fire to rescue his people. Because he's going to start, his great white throne is coming down, and he's starting the eternal reign there. Mm-hmm. Over there in Revelation 20 and 12, it talks about the books. But we don't have anything written in the books for us. We're being judged out of the book of life. So, you know, everything's written in there about your life in Christ. And I'm sure people prayed even the prayer where Lord, help me find my keys, you know, and suddenly you find them, you know. So that's written in there.
Amen.
You know, if you prayed, if you took your kids and prayed for a cat, you know, I have a picture of a cat over there, and the cat shows up, that's written in there. Every single thing that was an answer to prayer is going to be in that book of life. We don't get judged out of the plural books or booklets, as it says in the Bible. We use the numeric version. So I just found that interesting. Another thing I found interesting is these people who do believe in this Trinity as co-equal, how's that going to work for all these denominations that are in that interfaith thing in the UN? Because that's a completely different doctrine that would separate you from all the other religions, you know? And, you know, if it is oneness, okay, like they think it even is, you know, they should be at least separate from all those other religions and those who don't believe that. So there's a fallacy there, you know. Interfaith, it doesn't say interfaith in Romans 1:16-17. So what's this inter in the front of the word of faith, you know? You know, and it's like you got these signs now. I found this sign in the garbage room. It says believe, all in uppercase letters. It's on a big plaque, you know. It says believe, you know, but that's all it says, you know. In what, you know? Some guy retired and they had that in his office, so they threw it in the garbage. But, you know, they want you to believe in everything, you know. And you can't do everything. It has to be believe in God, you know. So this interfaith thing, you know, is not the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. You know?
So what does interfaith mean, Andrew?
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to combine all the faiths and all the beliefs, all the religions. You know, interfaith means you're going to get along with one who's Judean and has the Judean faith and doesn't have Christ, and that's not the faith, you know. The righteous shall live by faith, not interfaith. You know, they don't have a faith to stand on. There's only one faith. It's right there in Ephesians 4:4, I think. One God, one faith. I don't know if faith is mentioned there, but the idea of the faith there is mentioned from all the other one, because it mentions the word one a lot there in Ephesians. I can't remember how all the things that are mentioned there, but there's like one Spirit, so. One God, one baptism. So how do you have an interfaith when it comes to your baptism too? Like, are they all baptized? You know, they're not thinking too straight, those denominations that have involved themselves with that. And I can't understand why they would even send representative there, unless there's other ideas as to what they might attain through it. I think they have other principles that they want there, other than just Christ. A notoriety to be noted as part of the world, I guess. So, anyways, there's no inter in Romans 1:16-17. It's not there in Romans 5:1 either. So, you know, if you want a definition of faith, you got to take almost every word where faith is mentioned in the Bible, in the New Testament, and you'll have your oracle of God. It's not inter. So.
Amen. Well, getting back to that oneness thing, going back to Revelation 20 and 4 and 20 and 6, you didn't read them, but I want to read them and show you something here. And I'm sure this is what Andrew was referring to. It says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and such as worshipped not the beast, neither his image, and received not the mark upon the forehead and upon the hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now move down here to 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. And over these the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ." That's not one, there's two. "And shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we see a couple of thrones there. Reign with God the Father and Jesus the Son. Revelation 3 and 21. "He that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne," Jesus talking, "as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." Two thrones.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's it.
Amen. Listen to 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. "But I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man." And listen to this. I think you read this a while ago. "And the head of Christ is God." So now we've got an order here, don't we? We've got God the Father, and then his Son, Jesus, who is under his Father. And then there we go. That's two thrones. Now, that's not three thrones. There's not three thrones up there where the Holy Spirit's sitting on the throne, because you won't find another throne in the Word of God anywhere. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He does what the Father tells him to do. Yeah, Andrew.
So he's sitting in the throne of God, because he's everywhere, and he's also sitting in that throne of Christ.
He's everywhere.
Amen.
He's everywhere. He's the Holy Spirit. He takes orders from God. But he's not a person. He's a spirit. God the Father talks about, and Rob did this so well in that little thing that he had, that oneness truth, Trinity true or false, that Rob did. And he spells it out with scripture. And it's just so telling. It talked about Jesus has a spirit, soul, body, and a throne. And he quoted Luke 23 and 46 and John 12 and 27. And then Matthew 26 and 27, or 12. It talked about his spirit, his soul, and his body in all three of those. And then he talked about the Father that has a spirit, soul, and body and a throne. Both of them have a throne, Jesus and God and the Father. Matthew 12 and 18, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put," what? "My spirit upon him, and he shall declare judgment to the Gentiles." Then Daniel 7 and verse 9, "I beheld till thrones were placed, and one that was Ancient of Days did sit. His raiment was white as snow, and the hair of his head." Well, if he doesn't have a body, he ain't got a head, has he? He's got a head. "And his head, like pure wool. His throne," he's got a throne, "was fiery flames, and the wheels thereof burning fire." Then Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's too many verses here that tells there's only two thrones up there. There ain't three. There ain't just one either. It's not oneness. It's not Trinity. It's God the Father, Jesus the Son, and Holy the Spirit. Amen. It's not a scripture. As a matter of fact, Rob says this. He says, there is not one scripture that declares the Holy Spirit as a soul, physical body, or throne as the Father and Son did. But he is seen as the bodily form of a dove when he descended upon Jesus, spiritually speaking. And that's in Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form as a dove upon him, and a voice came out of heaven. Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. That's because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father. He's the Spirit of the Father. And then Ephesians 4 and 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit, Rob says, is the omnipresent aspect of God the Father that dwells in us. I agree. John 4 and 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So there's a lot of scriptures that doesn't back up the Trinity, doesn't back up the oneness doctrine at all. I don't know where they get these doctrines from, other than their old thick skull. They just brought them out of thin air. I think, I'm not mistaken, somebody can help me out here. I think the oneness doctrine came out of a revival. Somebody thought they got a revelation. I believe it was, might have been Azusa. I don't know. Somebody might have known a little bit more about that than I do, but somebody came out of there with a revelation and made a church out of it. I believe it's somebody that came up to Springfield and tried to do it to where Hot Springs, where they were trying to form the Assemblies of God. And they didn't go along with his doctrine, so he went out there. I don't remember who it was, but I seem like I read something about that. I could be mistaken about that. Know ye not that ye are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Man, we're walking gods too, are we not? When God, remember the incarnation of God that Lake talked about, man, that is such a powerful, powerful teaching there. Okay, Rob says, many claim such passages as Matthew 28:19 prove the Trinity doctrine is true, but the words Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not names, they're titles. The word name in the Greek is onoma, which means nature, character, and authority. So Jesus was telling his disciples to baptize new disciples into the nature, character, and authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what God is, that's what the fruit we're looking for is in us. And that's what God's looking for us in us, is to be in his name, his nature, character, and authority. Rob quotes Matthew 28:19, and it's a good one. Go ye therefore and make disciples, learner and a follower, of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This doesn't mean just do that every time. It doesn't mean, and he says in another place, Paul does, to baptize in the name of Jesus. They're both one and the same. It's not that you do it one way or the other. We stand in the instead of Jesus when we baptize. That's what it means. An ambassador of Christ when we do that. Not that we have to say that every time we do something. We do to remind us who we are in Christ a lot of times, but that's okay.
You know, baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know, that's the gospel. The Father sent the Son, you know, and through the Son we were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just the gospel that he's talking about, you know. You know, baptizing them into what we have preached unto you, what we've taught you to observe and to do, baptize them into that, you know. Let them have the full experience like you have the full experience. You know? I thought I just might say that, sorry.
Well, amen. And it doesn't make any difference if you say in the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, or if you just say Jesus, as long as you're standing in the stead of the Lord. You know, they get in some of these little old things that don't mean nothing. Amen. First Corinthians 1:24, what do you reckon this means to them? But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, that's Jews and Gentiles, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So it's God in him that he's talking about, right? He can't do nothing unless he's talking about the Father. Unless he does what the Father tells him to do, he said. There's too many scriptures in there. John 10:30, Rob says, is often used. I don't know a whole lot about the oneness doctrine other than they believe that Jesus and the Father is one, and I don't know how they justify that Jesus and the Father are one other than they believe that Jesus as the Son of Man in the flesh is the flesh of God the Father. I don't know. I don't know how all that works. I'm not sure. I never was in that. I went to one meeting one time. No, I take it back. I've been to two or three of them. But I went, there's a big old church, great big church in North Little Rock. And it's a UPC church. And this was way back when. Man, they send some nice, pretty little old seven-color postcards that they're going to have camp meeting, you know. And I said, man, I'd like to go to that, not knowing nothing about them, you know. And so, man, I went in there, and the only place, it was packed, man. I'm telling you, they were elbow to elbow. And I went in, and I had to sit up in the balcony. But that's okay. This is a great, big, huge church right there on I-40. And I was sitting up there, and the music started. Man, it was great. I'm telling you, they had a full orchestra in there, and the music was great. The guy that was singing was awesome. And then the preaching started. I said, oh, my goodness. And they were criticizing anything and everything. Boy, they were very judgmental group. Anyway, I got up and left. But, boy, I tell you what, they had some good singing in there. And that was kind of basically my experience with the oneness people. Like I said, I didn't know much about it. Rob says, John 10:30 is often used to declare the Father and Jesus are one in essence. He says, John 10:30 says, I and the Father are one. But Jesus proved that he and Father were only one in unity and not in essence. John 17:11. And I am no more in the world, and these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. Throws a whole new light on it, don't it? John 17:22, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one, in spirit, in name, in nature, character, and authority. John was praying to his Father in John chapter 17 for his disciples that they may be one in one accord, right? just like they were at the Pentecost. We as disciples can only ever be one in unity. So Jesus is declaring he is one in unity with his Father and not in essence. John 17:20-21. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word, and that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. Too many scriptures that refute oneness and Trinity. Too many scriptures. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians 8, 5 and 6. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are gods many and lords many, yet to us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we unto him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and we through him. Makes perfect sense to me. Most teachers scoff at the idea that Jesus had a beginning, but the scriptures prove he was the firstborn of all creation. So here we're going back to Jesus again. Jesus was a created being. I know that got a kind of weighs on a lot of Baptists and others too, that he was a created being. They thought he was co-eternal as well as God the Father, co-equal, co-existent. And that's just not what the Word says. You have to go by what the Word says, not what some Baptist preacher says. We know that Jesus is the Word of God. Revelation 19:13, and he is arrayed in a garment sprinkled with blood. And his name is called, what? The Word of God. And we know that Jesus was the Word. We went over this last week. Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
I kind of prefer to think of, he's the beginning of creation, but I kind of like to think of him being birthed from the Father. It kind of, because it sounds like he came forth from him. And even though it's all about the same, they're saying it's all the same, similar language, birth, created. It sounds like, you know, sometimes when you look at it too, it looks like he came right out of the Father. You know, so it's like that's how he can be that exact same image, you know, and everything about him. And then you see the Father like we did in Proverbs 8, doing the rest of the creation together side by side. So that was kind of interesting. But it's unique in how he came right out of the Father. It's similar to how the Holy Spirit is. You know, so I just want to throw that in.
Amen. Amen. He was begotten of the Father.
Andrew's got his hand up.
Oh, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, Jesus was the firstborn of creation,
mm-hmm.
because didn't he go back to go get the people that died before, and down in Abraham's bosom there, and call them all out of there?
Yep.
And he probably called out Adam too, and Eve, He calls everyone through his anointed and Holy Spirit today to be the first of creation.
Yeah. So
the first fruits of whatever family, I guess, or I don't know how really that works, but if you're called, you could be the first one called in your family, maybe even in the city you're in, you know, and that gives you a, an ability through Christ to be his ambassador and to show forth this Christ and to continue that calling through him for other people to come to the Lord. And that's what I think anyway.
Amen. Man, well, that's a good way to put it, you know.
It's got to be kind of like an invitation, I guess.
David explains the call is this. These are already saved people. The called are those that are called to participate in Christ, to take on Christ and bear fruit. So.
Well, you know, what I'm saying is when you go out and
evangelize,
you've got to do the call too for other people to hear the preaching.
That, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you have something, Dave?
Yeah, I like to think I was adopted into the family, so kids give me a little excuse if I don't look like I fit in.
Well,
you know, you got no fear in that adoption too, because you can call him Abba.
Amen.
No more bondage there.
Amen. Okay, Willie, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just wanted to come in agreement with Andrew on him being born. You know, because it says, "Let all the angels worship him," and the angels were created. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't born like he was born. And then on the day in which he was born in the flesh, who showed up? All the angels, you know, and they spoke of his birth and they told the shepherds and, you know, and all the angels appeared to worship the birth of the Son of God. You know, you see another duality there. And then you have Elizabeth, you know, in whom the Holy Spirit came upon, and you know, she worshiped God, and you know, blessed be the fruit of thy womb, you know, and how does she put it? And who am I that the Lord, how did she put it? I wish I could remember how she put it. I would have to go to that verse of scripture and read the whole thing. But, you know, that was one of the dualities that the Lord showed me. You know, when he was first born, you know, all the angels worshipped him. And then when he was born in the flesh, you know, manifested in the flesh, all the angels came and appeared and worshipped him again. What do you call that? You call that the firstborn of all creation? Who ever got that much respect? Nobody. Nobody. You know, not only did God say it in the spiritual, but he manifested in the physical. You know, that's just mind-blowing thing for me. I just thought it was so wonderful. But, yeah, I thought I might share that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Well, Rob goes on to say here, we know that Jesus, as I hope you don't mind, Rob, I don't think you do. We know that Jesus, as the Word of God, is the wisdom of God.
First Corinthians, brother.
Okay, thank you. 1 Corinthians 1:24, but unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And he says, as the wisdom of God, he spoke as the word of God in the Old Testament through the prophets. Luke 11:49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send unto them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall kill and persecute. So we know that the word of God, who is Jesus, is the same from the Old Testament through the New Testament and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yea, and forever. Praise be to God. And I praise God, he is too. So if the wisdom of God is the word of God, who is Jesus. Let's see what wisdom has to say about himself. And he talks and goes to Proverbs 8, 12 through 36. Y'all, if you want to turn there, I'll wait till you turn there. It's got a lot in there. There he is. Yeah, Rob put it up there on the chat room, chat thing.
Give us that reference again.
It's Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 through 36. He says, I, wisdom, have made prudence my dwelling, and find out knowledge and discretion. By the way, Rob put it on the chat, I think. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way. And the perverse mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound knowledge. I am understanding. I have might. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me diligently shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and that I may fill their treasuries. 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, before the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the beginning of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he set a circle upon the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the fountains of the deep became strong, and when he gave to the sea its bound, that the water should not transgress his commandment, when he marked out the foundation of the earth. Verse 30. Then I was by him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his habitable earth. And my delight was with the sons of men. Now, therefore, my sons, hearken unto me, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And all they that hate me love death. That's a pretty good bunch of stuff right there. That kind of pretty well puts Jesus in perspective, doesn't it? Rob goes on and says, anybody got any comments on those? He says, Father possessed his word in the beginning and set him up before the earth was, before the depths of the seas, and before the hills were. Father brought forth his word out of him as his master workman that he used to speak forth his creation. Then he quotes Psalms 33:6-9. He says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Did Jesus have any faith? He knew when he spoke, things was going to happen. And that's, you know, that's where God wants us too. That when we do speak as an oracle of God, it happens. It happens. The Father possessed his word in the beginning and set him up before the earth was, before the depths of the seas, and before the hills were. And he spoke forth the creation. Psalms 33:6-9. Did I read that? I don't think I did. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. I think I read that. And Rob goes on to say, he says, while all of Proverbs 8:12-36 is clearly Jesus speaking of his being brought forth from the Father, verses 34 and 35, also clear to prove Jesus is declaring himself the door that we enter into life through. John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. And Jesus also declared himself the beginning of the creation of God when speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos. Revelation 3:14, and to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Father spoke forth his word as the beginning of the creation of God and declared him our God, and then used his word as his master workman to make all of the rest of his creation through him. Then he quotes John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. There it is. And without him was not anything made that hath been made. Amen. Anybody got anything you want to comment on about what we just read? About Jesus, who he is, and how he came here, and what he is in us. Yeah, Andrew.
All those attributes of his spirit and wisdom and understanding and counsel and knowledge and fear of the Lord are also in Isaiah 11:1-2, and there it speaks about all these different spirits that he has. And even in the very beginning there, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom. So that's all these spirits here are the lights in your temple. That's your menorah candle, and the center one is the Spirit, which is mentioned first there, and then the wisdom and the understanding and the teaching, which is the counsel. And all those seven are mentioned in all these verses here, especially the wisdom. And you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom too there. So it's just that the light there, the light that's in man is that life that's in John chapter 1 too. So that's how he's in us. He gives us this light so that we could shine. And the more we shine, like sun, moon, and star glory, it's how old you are. You know, you're not old by age, by time. You're old by light. Now, that's why you go to the hardware store and they still sell the 3,600 watt light bulbs. Anyway, that's what I saw.
Hey, Andrew, what was that Old Testament verse you talked about just now about the seven parts of the Spirit there?
That was mentioned a long time ago. It's Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. And it talks about the spirits there, and there's seven there. And those are the seven spirits also in the book of Revelation on the first chapter there. And I believe these are the lights that are in our temple to make us shine. Because the light in John chapter 1 is, in him was life, and this life is the light of men. So the life is how much light you have in you.
You know, the reason I ask is because just before the study, I saw in Revelation 4 about the seven spirits, and then I cross-referenced something in Zechariah about seven eyes in two different places, and I was kind of curious about the seven spirits. So I'm going to do some research on that, but it's interesting how it all falls together for me. So thank you.
Amen.
I mean, if it's the Spirit of God entering into us by faith, and it goes from faith to faith, you know, then it is a process of progress. And we all want that 3-2 that's in, I know it's, we are now all children of God, and it's not yet known what we shall be. You know, I can't remember verbatim that verse, so it shows a progression there, but is it going to be one that's going to be instantaneous? You know what I mean? Is it going to be, are we going to come to a point where all of a sudden it's going to be, you're going to know that you're moon glory, or you're going to know how much glory you attain. You're going to know you've come out of that starlight into the moonlight, or if you're in the moonlight, you're going to know you're going to go into that sunlight. Does that happen? That probably has to happen, because that's the growth of Jesus physically when he was here on earth, emphasizing the star he was born under as a parable, and then how he shone in the book of Acts, even brighter than the sun, the noonday sun. So, and how he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration too, shining so brightly with Moses and Elijah, who were already asleep. But gonna be, I don't know what to say there, who were filled with the Spirit of Christ, so they're going to be also shining to an extent. And if you're around those shiny people, the three apostles that were there, they're going to have to reflect some light there, even though they were just human still and didn't go through their tongues of fire experience yet. But they did actually go out two by two and work in the power of God. This was before the covenant for them of the sacrifice of the new covenant of Jesus. So were they not operating under the old covenant? Since there was no sacrifice yet for them to understand? I mean, Jesus mentioned it three times to them, and they didn't know what he was talking about sometimes. So is there going to be a parallel to that, you know, where you study and you get to a point where it happens because you're growing up, just like with Jesus, you know, he got to be 30 and that Holy Spirit came down upon him and he began a huge ministry there. So isn't that something we're supposed to be waiting for?
Well, that's what we're striving for, isn't it?
Well, if we're gifted by God and we operate in the gift he gave us, we operate in everything that he gives us, then why would he not continue giving to us?
He will. I'm talking, you know, what comes to mind is that verse, you know, ask and you shall
receive, yeah. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened up to you.
Amen.
Amen on that?
Yeah, it's Jackie.
Oh. Did I not have it on mute? I'm sorry. I was just repeating that verse Andrew was referring to in my head, but I was repeating it out loud. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's okay.
Because I have to admit, you know, sometimes I go through these great expectations that I want from the Lord, you know. I want lots, you know. And sometimes, you know, you think that, well, why wouldn't he give it, you know? Especially like for you people who are fathers, you know how much you love your own children. And there's even a verse like that, you know, that you would give good things to your children. And it's almost like being anxious for wanting this, you know, like it's something that you want to open up and have, you know, like a gift, you know, and I don't know, like I compare it like sometimes to those big gift bags. You get a lot of little gifts in them and you open one up and you don't know how it works. And you got to be shown how this works. And the Father, I think, wants to give us good things of his Spirit. And as good as he gave Jesus and the prophets of old, even. And the apostles, you know, and the disciples. What was it like back then, to live back then with these apostles? You know, these people who probably weren't even recognized by the world. Is there anything different with us today? I just try to imagine myself living in that time, being with them and talking with them and going, you know, I have to admit, sometimes I'm going, Lord, I got to be an idiot or something. I don't know why this isn't all happening now. Because I guess I'm expecting, you know, I don't know.
Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be hungry and expecting these things. Look what Rob put up there talking about the light. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. but the path of the righteous is okay. And then he quotes 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. Amen. Yeah, Willie.
I can relate with you, Andrew. You know, one of the things, you know, I had to lay down was, you know, my expectations, you know, concerning God. I heard it, I read it, you know, you see it. But what is my life before God? You know, my, you know, the Lord, you know, started showing me, you're everywhere. This is what he started showing me. You're everywhere. You know, you want to see this, that, this, 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 this. You want to see the sun stop in the midst of the sky. You know. But he began to deal with me in a place where I want to see absolute surrender from you. I want the gift that I gave to you. You know. To love me with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know. And to love your neighbor as yourself, you know, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And then I saw it. I saw it. I saw it. It was like seeing everything. There's nothing that'll be held back from me if I give God my whole life. If that becomes my main focus, you know, if that is my focus, I won't have to worry about, you know, God, when are you going to heal somebody? You know, God, you know, are you going to give me some type of dream or vision? You know, or God, are, you know, am I ever going to be, you know, filled with the Spirit? You know, we got all these expectations we're throwing at God. You know, and the flesh is such a subtle creature, you know. It wants to devour it upon its own lust. Oh, look how great I am. Look at all these mighty works I did. I told you God was real. Now, eat that. Now, what you think about that, people? You know, but that's not how God works. You know, by the time God's done with you, you know, all the glory, all the honor, you know, it's all going to go to him. Everything, you know, we're going to be casting down our crowns before him, you know, as if we did nothing in the earth, as if we did nothing, you know. And so that's, I'm just sharing how the Lord's been dealing with me, you know, because I want to be like John G. Lake. I want to be like Captain Kuhlman. I want to be like, and I was, you know, thinking about all these people. I want to be like, you know, Perez, who's on YouTube. I want to be like, you know, I wanted to demonstrate the power of God before people in so many ways. But, you know, I did not have power to surrender. You know, and I had to, you know, God started dealing with me. And he started off with the fear of the Lord. And it was like the fear of the Lord, you know, is the two commandments. And he started showing me what he really wanted from me. You know, it was only at that time when I was reading, you know, a little excerpt from out of John G. Lake's book. And he was speaking of, you know, healing a person is just like, you know, dealing with sin. You know, you cast it off from you. You know, and he said healing a person is the same way. And I don't know how God did it, but somewhere he used that. And I sat there with myself and I said, you know what, Lord? You know, I'm done with wanting to demonstrate the power of God to the world. You know, I'm just going to surrender my life to you. That's what I'm going to do. And then the Lord, the Holy Spirit came on me, you know, so gently, you know, and said, you're going to do that. It was like, what? But he showed me what it took. And that's been my main focus, giving my life to Jesus Christ. I don't care about anything else. I don't care if I don't do one single miracle. The greatest miracle God has given me is the realization of surrendering my life to Him. You know, and He said everything else will be like garments. All these other things shall be added to you. You'll heal the sick. You'll raise the dead. You'll cast out demons. It'll come naturally. But don't look to those things as a service unto me, when the service I want is your life. And, you know, that's how the Lord's been dealing with me. I just thought I might share that, you know. But I'm telling you, it will destroy every false expectation you have toward God. Even if they're biblical, these are expectations where you're in a place of depression, anxiety, fear, disappointment, double-mindedness. It brings on all these things. And, you know, where's the glory of God? You know, where is the first love? Where is the joy? Where is the joy of just surrendering your life to Him? Man, that is mind-boggling. You know, but we're looking at the miracles, the signs, the wonders. The man in the temple beat his breast, and he came out more justified, more righteous. He had such a shining forth of the glory of God. And the Pharisee walked out in darkness. Man, that is mind-boggling to me. That is mind-boggling to me. Oh, but if the only gift, there was one gift, surrendered to God, there would be a great falling away. There would be a great falling away had not the Spirit revealed it to us. You know, how precious it is, you know. The great reward. You know, we sit here and think, oh, my great reward is going to come from all the works I did for God. Your great reward comes through all the things that God has done through you. The greatest, you know, thing, you know, the greatest reward is God granting you grace to completely surrender to Him. I'm not going to rejoice in heaven because I healed people, or I prophesied, or I cast out demons. I'm going to praise God that He allowed me to surrender my life to Him. I get it. And the double-mindedness disappears. The fears, the anxiety, you know, the lack of service unto Him, all of these thoughts, you know, the worshiping of other men and their services and their works and what they built and all this stuff just disappears. If I was to die right now, I would die being happy, know that God has taught me this and I'm doing it. I know where I'm going. And it's so amazing. But, you know, that's all I got to say. I'm going to blow up with happiness if I'm going to shut up.
No, you're making everybody happy. You're making everybody. Well, you touched on something there, Willie, and you explained it too. It's a hunger after God that brings on the power. It's that hunger after God. God, I want more of you. I surrender myself to you. And you know, Lake did that. He wasn't looking for the power. He was looking for God. He wanted more of God. I want more of God. Willie wants more of God. Everybody in here wants more of God. We surrender, Lord, and we cry out. Lake would walk down the street, Lord, I'm hungry for you. And people would look at him like he was some kind of fool, you know. But that's he was that away. He wanted more of God. And boy, and him and another guy sought that for 2 or 3 years, I forget how long it was. And when it came in great power. Boy, I'm talking about electrified power. When he touched somebody, they'd knock him across the room, you know. He didn't ask for that. He wanted more of God. And the God told him one after he'd been doing it for a while, he said, it'll come in the fall. Just hang on. It'll come in the fall. Didn't tell him, I'm going to give it to you now. He said, it's going to come in the fall. Had to wait another few months to get it. And then he told him what day it was going to be. No, he didn't tell him what day it was going to be. He was praying when it finally came down. He said, it was like rain coming through me. from the top of my head through me. The Holy Spirit was just power going through me, electricity going through me. The glory of God was going through me and filling me up. And I had to cry out, stop! It's too much! This flesh can't stand this, all this power. But God loved him because of his hunger. And when we get to that point, guess what's going to happen? Here's something that David pointed out in one of his studies. Here John, the Revelator, walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, talked with Jesus for 3.5 years, communed with Jesus, just was pals with him, for 3.5 years, and loved the Lord with all his heart. He was the one that loved the Lord, And then in Revelation, listen to this. He says, Revelation chapter 1, and I turned to verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And having turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto a son of man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about at the breast with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto burnished brass, as if it had been refined in a furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Now here's where I was coming to. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead. Now this is his pal back when Jesus was the Son of Man. But now he's the glory of God. And that's the power of God that's burning up the flesh in John. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Woo, praise be to God. That's the one we hunger for right there. Praise be to the Lord. So if you see that even though he knew him on earth as the Son of Man, and as the Son of God, when he was glorified, when Jesus was resurrected and glorified, sitting on the throne, that power of God was all over him. And it was enough to burn the flesh out of John and laid him out, man. It laid him out. That's what I hunger for. I hunger for, I have a place that I walk out here for 3 miles. When I can, when the weather's good and I can get out there, that I cry out to the Lord for more of him, more of him. I want more of him. Just like Willie was talking about, I surrender it. Lord, I give it all to you, but I want more. I want more. And the time coming, Willie, the time is coming when he's going to fill us all up with him, his love. And that love is going to permeate throughout the world. And show the people of the world the light and the love of God that's going to bring this revival and all the people around us. And I'll tell you something else. And because of that, the ones that are doing that are wanting God with every cell in their body, they want more of God. The power of God's going to come on them like never before. And things are going to happen in supernatural that people, it's just going to boggle people's minds. People are going to be walking through plagues and not even worried about it. People are going to be laid out all around them. Not going to bother. Going to be transferred. Water, not going to be a problem. If you have to go somewhere, just walk on across it. Or he might just translate. I don't know. But anyway, That's what's coming for God's people that are hungry for Him, hungry for Him. So we have to let that old flesh go. Yeah, Willie.
Now, I just wanted to say to Andrew, you know, there was something that the Lord did with you, you know, that I was always appreciative of, you know, whenever I would be looking at you, you know, I would always see your lips moving, you know, when the microphone is off. And I said, come on, look at him. And it taught me, you know, you need to speak more in tongues. And you don't understand how much I appreciate that. To see you do that, you know, I was on my knees when I first got tongues. You know, nobody laid hands on me. Nobody was like, hey, you need to say this, habba baba, shabba wabba. You know, I was at home, you know, early 2000 or 1999 or something like that. You know, I was praying. And I said, Lord, I want tongues. I heard someone do it. And, you know, I sat there and I got on my knees and I refused to get up until my God gave me tongues. I didn't know what it was about. All I know is I wanted the gift. I wanted it. I said, I want that, you know, and I didn't get off my knees until God gave it to me. And as I was sitting there praying on my face, you know, it just suddenly started. You know, it felt like I was on the floor for about an hour or maybe two, but I didn't get up off that floor. You know, I stayed on that floor and that gift came to me. And, you know, many times, you know, my heart tried to become embittered, you know, through not using that gift until it came to a point where I wasn't using it, period. But I just wanted to say, you know, just every time I would look at you, I would see you speaking in tongues. You know, and surely, but, you know, and the Lord was just like, that's what you need to be doing. I was like, you know, right? You know, Father, you're right. You know, praise God, you know, because God, you know, uses us in ways we do not know. You do not know. You do not know. And just what we consider to be a small or private thing, you know, produces such fruit. You know, can you imagine God telling you all the things you did that you were not aware of that brought fruit forth unto Jesus Christ? You know, we're like this, fruit God, and God's like this, you know, precious. Let me show you the most precious thing you've ever done for me that I held in my heart that I want to show to you. You know, and just watching you do that, you know, I sat there, you know, and said, you know what, I'm going to speak in tongues all day long. You know, I'm going to see what happens. You know, things in my life started changing. This closeness and desire for God and wanting to surrender to him, my life to him, started happening. What you do is not a small thing. I wish I can express it to you better. But it's not a small thing. Don't think that coming together is a small thing. It's not. I thank God for that.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Don't think that God doesn't see you. Don't think that he doesn't see you.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful testimony, Willie. Thank you so much. Yes, Lord. I'll tell you what, Willie's man, I had everybody in town playing for me when I want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It didn't work, man. Somebody in here is going to get me the Holy Spirit now. Pray for me. And I'd have everybody, every church I went to, pray for me to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they prayed for me and nothing happened, you know. And I was trying, man. I was, come on, Lord, I know you're going to give it to me. Come on now. This man here is going to do it. This one over here is going to do it. And then one day, I just got tired of going to these preachers because they didn't have no fire talk. That's what I'm thinking, you know. they probably did. I just didn't have any faith to believe. I thought it was, you know, a conduit, and you're going to get it, and everything's going to be cool, you know. Now, I was out in my shop just like Willie. I was just praising God, just out there, and then all of a sudden, pow, full language. I said, come on, Lord. And just like, I had a feeling, I had an experience with the Lord. I don't remember what year it was, about along the same time that Willie's talking about there, about 99, 2000, somewhere along in there. And the power of God came all over me, and I felt clean. I felt clean. And I didn't go all day. I went 4 hours nonstop, running around out there in my shop. I ain't no telling what anybody came around there, looked in the window and saw me. They don't make no, never mind, man. I was out there praising God, speaking in tongue. Sound like a lost Chinaman going on out there, but that's okay. But boy, it was the glory of God that I remember so vividly that went through me. And I felt that back then, and I never forgot it. And I felt it at times throughout, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there. But boy, that time there, it was strong. Anybody else have that experience? Some people don't have any kind of thing at all. They just go ahead and go to start talking in tongues and receive the Holy Spirit. But with me, it was pretty exciting. And it's the love of God that God puts in us. Man, you're ready to give away the farm when he does that. You want to go hug the first person you see, you know. Might be some old reprobate wino out there, but you want to hug his neck. Praise God. That's God. That's God. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Willie. That was awesome. That was awesome. Me and Willie, the only one, had them kind of experiences, I guess. Come on now. I know better than that. I know better than that. Okay. Oh, I wanted to read you something. Go ahead, Malcolm. I see you lighting up down there. Can you hear me, Malcolm?
I pushed my mute button and it must have turned me off.
Yeah.
So I found the mute button. I'm outside shoveling snow here. We got a lot of snow today. All day long, wet snow. Yeah. So I'm just trying to get it cleared off before my wife gets home. You know, I before the Lord gave me tongues, I spent a lot of time reading John Lake's experience and how, and also, Charles Finney. He spent quite a bit of time describing his experience, which was really pretty remarkable. And then I, of course, Smith Wigglesworth, and you know, I was reading everybody, William Brannan, and but anyway, when I started speaking in tongues, it was quite something, but there wasn't anything like I had read about from those great experiences that these people had. And I'm still waiting for that. It's wonderful to hear. I could barely hear some of what Willie's experience. I want to go back and listen to the recording. But it's so encouraging to hear these stories, you know. Well, Michael, I'm going to mute myself out because I got to get back to shoveling here.
Yeah, you better get that out of there before Mama gets home.
Yeah. I need the exercise, though. I know Paul said the bodily exercise is a little good, but I could sure use it.
Well, okay. Anyway. Go for it, man. Get double time.
Yeah. All right, we'll see you.
Okay, buddy.
Bless you all.
Lord bless him to get done before Mama gets home. In Jesus' name. Let it be a good job. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I've read about Branham and his experience, and A.A. Allen and his experience, and a few others. And, you know, they've all had similar experiences of the glory of God going through them. And that doesn't necessarily mean you didn't get it because that happened. I don't know why God does things like that, but some and don't others. And he does something else to other people, you know. I don't think David had an experience like that. I think he just went to doing it. But anyway.
Paul got knocked off his donkey.
Got blinded too, didn't he? Blinded that poor boy. He slapped him plumb off that donkey and blinded him.
I don't think he was even praying for tongues.
He wasn't. That's the furthest thing from his mind.
It was 3 days later that came.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, he was in a world of hurt there.
Oh, boy. Yeah, he couldn't see nothing. Amen. Yeah, Willie.
I'm sorry. I'd like to share a praise report.
Well, go ahead.
I know I've been talking a bit much. I want to talk to you something about surrenders and what God showed to me. You know, on that time in which the Lord put it in my heart to do that, I went to go, you know, watch my kids. And when I walked in the house, I noticed that the atmosphere changed. It was like the atmosphere changed. Can you guys hear me? Okay, let me know if you can't, because I just want to make sure everyone hears me. And it was like God came in and did something to my children, and I couldn't tell what it was. But I knew it dealt with surrendering to him. You know, when I'm going to surrender my life to God. That's my main focus. And when I stepped in that house, the atmosphere totally changed. And so my oldest son comes to me. He's 16. And I'm going to tell you something. Somewhere around that age, I got addicted to pornography and was stuck in pornography for over 20 years. So my son comes to me and he says, Dad, and he says in a kind of quiet, shy way. Mind you, he's taller than me. You know, but he's such a gentle son. He's a gentle son, very gentle. And he says, Dad, the Lord delivered me from an addiction. You know, I just connected the dots, you know, and I said, I think I know what it is. Because I was concerned, you know, that the evil one would bring that into his life. And I said, delivered you from an addiction. I said, what kind of addiction? What are you talking about? And he said, pornography. And, I said, how did he do it? I said, he said, well, you know, I was sitting there and I prayed to God, and you know, he'll say things simply. And he said, I asked the Lord to send thousands of hundreds of thousands of angels into my mind and to remove it from me. And you know how kids, you know how they are. And he said, and the Lord did it. And I stopped looking at it. Why am I telling you guys this testimony? Because, you know, when that surrender is there, you thinking that, you know, I need to pray this, pray that, that surrender changes the atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere. Demons that were once there start to flee. Addictions that are passed down through the generational line. you start corking things up. You're like, I didn't even know, you know, through the simple surrendering that, you know, that would happen. I dealt with it for over 20 years, and my son got rid of it before he was, I was, what was it, months, days, how long was it? 20 years. God got rid of it for him at the age in which I got addicted to it. And, you know, I just wanted to share that about that surrender. You know, it changes the atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere. If you look at the Azusa Street Revival, these people were all about absolute surrender to God. And they came in a time where racism was on such a high level. You had everybody, all colors there, fellowshipping. And it, you know, it was so powerful, you know, and God's glory, the Shekinah glory, you know, would just be all in the atmosphere. You could see it, put your hands in it. You can lay in it, dance in it. There's so many testimonies about it. But I wanted to share that, you know, praise report. Because, you know, I was kind of like, you know, praise God, you know. Praise God. That was kind of cool.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for keeping that boy's feet on the straight and narrow, too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yeah, I'll tell you what. I always love to read about the old revivals of like Azusa Street, and there's a lot of other ones too. That one there had some pretty good miracles in it. And the great part about Azusa Street, it was tangible evidence that God was there. You know, he talked about the Shekinah glory. They could see that in that church. Not only that, fire would go through the roof. And the firemen would come. People would call the fire department because they saw fire coming out the roof. And it wasn't burning nothing up. And the firemen had to go back home. Or fire would come down from heaven into the church. It's both ways. Oh, my. That's power in there. We're going to see it, Willie. We're going to see that. God's going to do good stuff for us in the days ahead. It's going to be awesome. Praise God. He did it for them. He gonna do it for us. But like Willie talked about, and that's something we probably ought to talk about. What is today? This is Thursday. Well, talk about Tuesday is absolute surrender, total surrender. What does that mean? Total surrender to God. I know we talked about it once before, but we just kind of hit and missed on it. I'd like to get into some good study on that. If some of y'all would like to help me out here, we can do that. Absolute surrender. What does it mean?
Murray has a whole book on that, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a short book. It's not a big book. But he talks about it. But there's a lot of... David's got some books on it. How shall we die? You know, what does it mean to totally surrender? Amen. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to share? I better write that down. Anybody want to pray about anything? Got anything I need to pray about? Rob, I did want to take this opportunity to thank you for this. This is a great tool for studying the Trinity, oneness, and or the truth. That's a good one. And then, of course, listening to those tapes, David's helped a lot, too. Gives us perspective. It gives us. Go ahead, brother.
No, I just want to encourage the brethren here that God granted some repentance over the last couple of days, and I believe there's some good coming out of some fellowship tomorrow morning. And I just want to encourage the brethren here to pray for a sister that has been struggling a little.
Amen. That was amazing how he did that too. And thanks. It's awesome. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Yep, we're going to see. Praise God. I just praise him for that because it's awesome how quick he turned that around. Man, I was so sad about it. And then all of a sudden, David was telling me. So I just praise God for his grace and his mercy on us. He heard the cries of his saints praying for this girl. I'm telling you, you can't do things on your own. You have to. It's God that does it. It's God who put it in your boy's heart to pray about those angels out there, Willie. That's God. Lord, I don't want this. Get it out of me. Took it out. Praise the Lord. Oh, I got just a couple of minutes here. Well, I'll wait till next week. I'll wait till next Tuesday. David talks about in the man-child, what has been shall be, the man-child returned. He talks a little bit about Joseph, the father, the stepfather of Jesus, and what his role was in raising the Lord. And I'll touch on it briefly next week if y'all remind me. What David said about it. Pretty good, pretty interesting.
Where did he say that from, that book you guys are reading?
No, it's one I knew something like that was in there, and I just went and got it. What has been shall be, the man child returns. Well, all right. Well, Father, Lord, I thank you for the love that's in this room. It's awesome to believe, Lord, that we've got all these people that are in one accord with one another. And we know that one of these days, Lord, you're going to show up even in this room. Even though we're not physically one with another, Lord, your spirit is going to just, because he's omnipresent, your spirit's going to touch every one of us at the same time. Lord, I believe that, and I know that when that we do come into that one accord, that the power of God is going to shoot forth out of this bunch, and people's lives are going to be changed because of it. I believe it, I pray it, and I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that our families are being saved because we believe what your word says in Mark 11:23-24, John 14:14. And all the rest of those faith verses, Lord. We've put it in our hearts to believe. You've put it in our hearts to believe. And Father, we thank you for placing it in our hearts to act on it as well. Lord, be with us tonight. Give us a good night's sleep. Let us wake up tomorrow morning, no matter what the weather is, rejoicing in you, Lord, and asking to completely help us to surrender everything to you, Lord. And as we walk this walk that you've got us on, Lord, be with us, encourage us, correct us, lead us and guide us, Lord. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Bless Rob for putting that out there for us on this Oneness Trinity or the Truth study that he had. It helps tremendously, and I thank you for it. I praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in your saints in this outreach fellowship. And I thank you, Lord, that you've kind of knitted us all together there, like Kurt's dream many years ago about the golden thread that were knitting all of our hearts together. And that was you, Lord, doing that. You're doing it again. And I praise you for it. Protect us, guide us, and let us teach us how to speak as an oracle only of you, Lord. And I praise you for it. Be with us until we come again next Tuesday night, Lord. Lord, one other thing. I ask for your protection upon President Trump, his family, and all of those that are his cabinet, Lord. It looks like it may be some kind of attack on him, but we prayed the prayer of faith, and we believe, Lord, that you're going to expose it and put the people that are trying it in jail. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, saints, good night.